بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. From the kitab إصلاح العقائد, corrections of beliefs. We start reading the beliefs concerning today we read beliefs concerning and regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief number one: Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always in existence and will always remain in existence. Allah ta'ala is the ever-living. The whole universe was non-existent. When Allah Ta'ala created the world, it came into existence. In many verses of the Quran Majeed, Allah Ta'ala declares that He has created the world. The world did not come into existence by itself or by any big bang. The perfect administration and regulation of the universe speaks for itself by testifying that our Creator and Supervisor is an extremely knowledgeable, wise, powerful and mighty being. A few logical examples. A person looks at a book which is beautifully penned. That is, the book is extremely beautiful and the language therein very eloquent. Logically, he will realize that this is not the result of ink and its coincidental and accidental movements, but the work of an experienced and expert author and calligrapher. Another example, a person looks at a beautiful palace, which has numerous spacious and impressive rooms, extremely beautiful carpets and lights, as well as equally attractive springs and fountains. Only a foolish person will claim that this is the result of the coincidental mixing of sand and water. Any intelligent person will be forced to exclaim that this is the work of expert engineers and builders. Another example, when looking at a watch, one observes all the intricate parts within it. He then notes the accurateness of its movements and its meticulous functioning. The obvious conclusion will be that the watch has been constructed by an expert watchmaker. If someone claims that a blind, deaf and dumb person who has no knowledge or understanding of watchmaking is the one who constructed this watch, then no sane person will accept this conclusion. Alternatively, if someone claims that it is the result of coincidental and accidental movements of matter which gave rise to the form of the watch, and then after further movements of this matter, all the intricacies of this watch was formed. All these parts got together by themselves and started functioning, giving correct time, then such a person would be regarded to be as insane. The perfect movement, functioning and existence of the entire universe, all point to the existence of a most powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing and most wise being. A few incidents. Once a group of atheists came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi with the intention of killing him. The Imam asked them what they would say about a person who claims that he sees a ship laden with goods sailing on the sea and it takes goods from one end to the other. The ship navigates the waves perfectly and there is no sailor to steer the ship. The goods get loaded on and off the ship by itself. They replied that it is such a nonsensical contention that no sane human being would accept it. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi then told them, "Pity on your intelligence. If a ship cannot sail and operate without a sailor, how can this entire universe operate without an operator?" Upon hearing this, all of them were embarrassed. They repented and accepted Islam at the Imam's hands. Another incident, somebody asked Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi for the proof of a creator. He replied by indicating towards the face and said that the face of a man is small, yet it consists of eyes, nose, tongue, cheeks, lips, etc. Notwithstanding this, no two persons' faces are the same. The voice, mannerisms and habits of each person is unique. In short, the fact that every person's features and profiles are not alike, nor are their voices, tones, habits and characters alike, proves that this is definitely the work of a supreme creator who has blessed each person with his own uniqueness, which differs from others. This can never be the work of matter or molecules, nor can it be pure coincidence. The third incident, an atheist asked Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi for the proof of a creator. He replied that one must look at the leaves of a mulberry tree. The taste, color and smell of all of them are alike. But when a silkworm eats from there, silk is produced. When a bee eats from there, honey is produced. When a sheep eats from there, it ejects it as droppings. And when a deer eats from there, musk is produced. All these different things are made from one and the same source. It is obvious that all these different products are the result of an all-knowing, most powerful creator. These are certainly not the result of natural occurrences. If it were, then the result would have all been the same. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the one and quarter para from the second quarter till half of the third para was recited, which comprises of the remaining portion of Surah Al-Baqarah and also two rukus of Surah Al-Imran. Yesterday we stopped at the end of the first para. In the second para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the changing of the Qibla. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed the Qibla of the Muslims to be Baytul Muqaddas, which is also read as Baytul Maqdis. This also was the Qibla of the Ahli Kitab, that is the Jews and the Christians. Various reasons have been given why the Muslims' Qibla for a period of about 16 or 17 months after the migration was appointed as Baytul Maqdis. But anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire was that the Qibla of the Mu'mineen should be the original Qibla of the which was the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, the Ka'batullah, the Baytullah, which is in Makkatul Mukarramah. Baytul Maqdis and Baytullah in Makkatul Mukarramah are in completely opposite directions. From Madinatul Munawwara, the Kaaba, it faces towards the southern direction, and Baytul Maqdis faces towards the northern direction. Those who have been blessed with the opportunity of visiting the Holy Lands, when they go for ziyarat, they go to a masjid which is called Masjidul Qiblatain, in which when the command came of the changing of the Qibla, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in that masjid, and part of the salat, according to some narrations, was performed facing towards the first, towards Baytul Maqdis, and thereafter then towards Baytullah. Anyway, when the changing of the Qibla order was given according to the desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there was great objections being leveled against Islam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the polytheists, that is the mushrikeen, and also the Ahli Kitab, particularly the Jews. They used to always wait for an opportunity to raise some type of objection and criticism against Islam and the Muslimin. And thus they found in this incident, they found an opportunity. And they started now objecting that what's wrong and what type of deen is this? That one day they are ordered this, they must face in this direction. And another day they are now ordered to face in another direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from before already informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the first verse of the second para refers to that Allah ta'ala says that you will see that shortly the foolish people, they will say that what has made these people, the Muslimin, change from their Qibla upon which they were, and they now facing in another direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that answer them, that tell them that لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ, that only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the directions of the east and the west. Referring to the point that direction, any direction by itself, doesn't hold virtue over any other direction, nor has any direction the ability on its own to be the qibla and the direction for in which the Muslims will face during the salat on their own, unless and until it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of all directions, whether east or west, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then orders that certain direction has to be faced, that will be now the direction of the qibla for any nation in their forms of ibadah. So the prerogative and the main thing is that obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night where the Taraweeh started in the second quarter, Allah ta'ala mentions this further, that complete piety and virtue and obedience is not facing in a particular direction, but instead it is to be completely subservient to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every facet and every aspect of a person's life. So that is the main thing. A person has to now be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change the direction of his heart and of his entire life towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will then result in the pleasure, in acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the objections of the mushrikeen and the Jews in particular, there is completely baseless, that why are the Muslims now facing in this direction whereas they were facing in another direction prior to this. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered it so, and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the main thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions that these people of the Kitab, that is the Jews and the Christians, they recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the final Nabi, just as they recognize their own children, their own sons. But because of their obstinacy and because of their stubbornness and jealousy, that why was the last Nabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not born in our progeny, in our lineage? That's why they refused to accept the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But deep down, they knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the final Nabi, as was mentioned in the holy and heavenly scriptures. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through exercising patience and salat. So when a person is afflicted with adverse conditions and difficulties and calamities, and a person now wish he should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by exercising patience and also through the medium of salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin," that Allah ta'ala is with those who exercise patience and Allah ta'ala's help is with them. Concerning those who are martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says that don't say they are dead. Instead they are alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a special form of life in the barzakh, that is the life after passing away. But Allah ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, and you don't perceive. Allah ta'ala then also informs us that from time and again, we will test you with a bit of fear and hunger, and also decrease in wealth and lives and sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in those conditions, those who exercise patience, there is glad tidings for them, that when they are afflicted with an adversity and calamity, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," that we belong only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. When we have firm conviction that whatever happens with the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person, no matter how great the calamity and disaster might be in front of him, but he knows everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this itself is a type of consolement for a person, that he knows that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that those who now do this, there is special favors for them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and special mercies for them, and they are the rightly guided. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the importance of eating of that which is lawful, which is halal, and also that which is wholesome and pure. Allah ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba," that eat from that which comes out from the earth, which is completely pure and also wholesome, and don't follow in the footsteps of shaitan. Therefore, we should be very particular that the type of food which we consume, has to be halal and also tayyib, that is pure and wholesome. And as mentioned elsewhere in the Quran and Majid, that this has a direct effect on a person performing good deeds. When a person's consumption of food is correct, then it will have a positive effect in doing good actions. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in the ayat Lays al Birra, which was alluded to just now, that Allah ta'ala says that complete piety and virtue is not only that you turn your face in a particular direction, but complete virtue and piety is that. Then Allah ta'ala mentions many things which encompasses every aspect of our lives. The broader principles have been mentioned, the usul have been mentioned in this verse, and the ulama have given great importance to this verse, calling it Ayatul Birr. And all the injunctions mentioned here are called Abwabul Birr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning aqaid, concerning spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing salat, paying the zakat, and many other things are also mentioned here. And those who do this, Allah ta'ala says, they are the truthful ones, and they have been blessed with taqwa, and they have the quality of taqwa within them. Thereafter, for the remaining of the para, practically right till the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the broad principles of deen in this ayat, Allah ta'ala mentions the finer points and the subsidiary injunctions of Shariat. And many laws have been mentioned in this surah. So many have been mentioned that and only the broader principles of these masail have been mentioned, but the intricacies and the finer details are all mentioned in the books of fiqh, jurisprudence, all extracted from the Quran and Hadith. And really, just to understand this, takes a very long time. Umar radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that he learned Suratul Baqarah in a span of 12 years. His son Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned it took him 8 years to learn Suratul Baqarah. The reason being that so many injunctions have been mentioned here, we will just mention them, but the details of that are all found in the kitabs, mentioned by the fuqaha. The laws concerning qisas, that is retaliation, where a person is now intentionally murdered, what is the shari'i rule of retaliation, that has been mentioned. Then concerning bequests, when a person now makes a bequest, to what extent can he make, and what are the laws concerning that, are all mentioned here. Further on, the rules and regulations concerning fasting, the benefits of fasting also are mentioned here. And further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in quite detail mentions what is permissible and what is not permissible for a person in the month of Ramadan. For example, having relations with one's wife during the nights of Ramadan has been made permissible. This also has been mentioned in these verses. Further on, the importance of the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar is actually a means through which we determine the times of many of our ibadat. That is mentioned here. The ulama mentioned that it is farz-e kifaya that a person keeps track of the lunar months and the dates of the lunar calendar, because without that, a person's many forms of his ibadat, whether it's fasting, whether it's hajj, etc., all will be affected. Further on, some mention is made of hajj and umrah also, and then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kaffa, that O believers, enter into Islam completely. These verses were initially revealed when those Muslims who converted from Judaism, who were Jews, and they came into Islam. But after entering into Islam, many of them, they desired to uphold and upkeep some of the things which they had learned in the Jewish religion, and they wish to now upkeep them after accepting Islam, like honoring the day of Saturday, the Sabbath, and not to eat camel meat, and etc. Allah Ta'ala says, no, enter into Islam completely. This verse we hear it quite often in the beginning, in the introduction of all the kitabs which we are reading throughout the day, and the purpose, point is, that Islam is not only confined to a few rituals and customs and forms of ibadat, but in fact Islam is something which now encompasses every facet and aspect of our lives. So in every aspect and facet of our lives, we should now implement the laws of Shariat, not pick and choose that what suits us in certain aspects, we act upon them and discard the others. So the very important injunction have been mentioned in this verse, that enter into Islam completely and don't follow in the footsteps of Shaitan, he is your open enemy. Which means, if we don't do so, we are actually now following in the footsteps of Shaitan, through which now we will be fall into the path of deviation. Further on, many other injunctions are also mentioned here, concerning jihad also is mentioned, and spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sacred month, concerning some injunctions concerning the sacred months which are four, that three come all together, that is, one is Dhul-Qadah, Dhul-Hijjah, and Muharram, and the fourth month is Rajab. These are the sacred months. Initially, battle and fighting in these months were also forbidden, and later on, this rule was relaxed, and there was permission. But besides that, the forms of ibadat in these months have greater virtue compared to the worship in the other months of the year. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about liquor and gambling, and also the harms which are associated with it, and also concerning having relations with one's wife when she is in her menses. The prohibition concerning that is also mentioned. Then in quite detail, some rules and regulations concerning nikah and talaq are mentioned here. In the days prior to Islam, in the days of Jahiliyat, people used to divorce their wives hundreds of times, and each time they used to take them back. Allah Ta'ala in the Shariat has regulated this concept of divorcing and mentioned at-talaqu marratan, that the maximum times through which after divorce you can take back your wife is two times. After that, the wife then goes out completely from the nikah of a person. Many, many rules and regulations concerning them have been mentioned here. And together with that, the rules of iddat, that is the waiting period a woman has to sit in after she is divorced or her husband passes away before she can remarry. How long is the iddat and when she has to sit for iddat, etc., are all mentioned here. Together with that, breastfeeding, the children, till which, for how long is it permitted according to Islam, that is 2 years, that also has been mentioned here. Then towards the end of the surah, end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of two incidents. One is of a nation which were afflicted with a plague, people fearing death, they started fleeing from that area where the plague had descended, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they could not escape the will and taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything goes with the will and taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By fleeing from a place afflicted with a plague in Islam, this has been regarded to be also a major sin, where a person is not supposed to flee from a place just to try to escape death, because death comes on its appointed time and everything comes with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other incident is mentioned concerning the Bani Israel, who were under the leadership of Talut, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite them having a small army, how they vanquished and they were victorious over a very large army is mentioned here. This incident was not famous amongst the Bani Israel, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it, which is mentioned here, and this itself was proof of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences with mention of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, that all of them are on a very lofty rank of nabuwat, but amongst them there is also now different ranks, and the highest ranks amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam is that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the second ruku of the third para, the famous ayat, which is the most virtuous and superior ayat of the Quran Majeed, which is popularly known as Ayatul Kursi, is mentioned here, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 10 verses, in ten sentences, a single verse and ayat, but 10 sentences are mentioned here, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all his sifat and attributes. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his encounter with the tyrant of that time, Namrud, and how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam argued with him, debated with him, and explained to him the concept of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supreme. Allah ta'ala is the supreme master and in control of everything, life and death. The incident of Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam, when he passed a town which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed, and the thought came in his mind that how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect them on the day of Qiyamah, not that he had doubt in life after death, but he wanted to know in which way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him death and kept him in that condition for 100 years, and after 100 years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam, and in front of him he seen the same town and the people of it, all Allah ta'ala had resurrected them. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that how is it that, oh Allah ta'ala, show me how you will resurrect the dead. Not that he had any doubt whatsoever. He wanted to know how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do it, and he wanted to see it. Allah ta'ala tells him that take 4 birds, different type of birds, domesticate them, tame them, and then slaughter each one and chop them up into pieces, mix them, meet up all with one, all together, and then make them into 4 different portions and place them on 4 different places on the mountain. And then call them, and then you will see that all of them will now come back to life and come running towards you. Although each one, each portion was mixed up with the meat and flesh and feathers of all the different types of birds. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then brought them back to life, and in this way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrated his great qudrat, that how he can bring back to life everything after they had now passed away. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great virtue of it, and also the etiquette of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it mustn't be that a person now spends, and after that, there is constant reminder, which is called man ihsan jatana, and also to cause any type of insult or injury to the person whom you had now spent upon by insulting him or criticizing him or not dealing with him in a kind and compassionate way. By doing this, a person will nullify all what he has spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who spend in the path of Allah ta'ala to try and show others, Allah ta'ala gives the example of that. It's like the person who plants a seed on rocky ground in which there is a thin layer of sand. That seed will start growing, but one strong rainfall and everything will get washed away. Just like that, a person, no matter how much he might spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if there isn't sincerity of intention and the object is to show, then all of that will go to waste and he will not be rewarded. In fact, he will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many other virtues about spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and immediately after that, Allah ta'ala makes mention of the evil and the evil of interest and usury, that those who now indulge in usury and interest, they will be raised on the day of Qiyamah in a state of completely bewilderment, confusion, and a person like he has been afflicted by the jinnat and his senses have been completely removed. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that after spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these are actually two opposing systems. Spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates generosity, kindness, compassion, feeling for others, and helping and assisting others. And the effect of it is that love and brotherhood is created amongst the people. But on the other hand, indulging in interest and usury, the reason for it and the basis of it is normally stinginess, miserliness, and self and personal enrichment, and just to 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 get more wealth at the expense of others, and thus actually breeds contempt and enmity amongst people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the evil of usury, and this one son mentioned in the Quran Majeed, Allah ta'ala mentioned that those who now don't desist and stop themselves from involving themselves in interest, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make an announcement to them that they are actually now getting at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only two sons have been mentioned where declaration of war by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against such people have been mentioned. One in the Quran Majeed here, that is those who involve in interest. And the other one mentioned in the Ahadith, that those who cause any type of takleef to those who are the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be very careful in this regard. Thereafter, towards the end of the surah, the lengthiest verse of the Quran Majeed, which comprises more than one page, is mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidelines concerning our monetary dealings, particularly our transactions which are based on credit. Make sure it is recorded, the time, etc. also has been mentioned, so later on dispute doesn't arise between the different parties. And towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Since many injunctions have been mentioned in this verse, in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah ta'ala does not burden anyone more than what he can bear. Only that which a person can bear, Allah ta'ala has now commanded us concerning that. No order and law of Shariat is beyond our ability. Allah ta'ala will never tell us to do something which is beyond our ability. Then we are taught the dua that, oh Allah ta'ala, do not take us to task if we forget or if we err. And oh Allah ta'ala, overlook our faults, forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our master and help us against the disbelievers. On this the surah then terminates. And then two rukus were also read of Surah Ali Imran. Inshallah we will do that tomorrow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qala Allah ta'ala, وَاذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ فرماتے ہیں, اور اپنے رب کا نام لیتے رہیں اور سب سے تعلقات منقطع کر کے اس کی طرف توجہ رہیں. منقطع کرنے کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کے تعلق کے مقابلے میں سب مغلوب ہوں. جو مشرق اور مغرب کے رب ہیں, نہیں ہے کوئی معبود مگر اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ. Almighty Allah says in the noble Quran, repeat the name of your Lord and turn to Him with complete devotion. Lord of the East and the West, there is no deity but Him. Almighty Allah says in the noble Quran, repeat the name of your Lord and turn to Him with complete devotion. Lord of the East and the West, there is no deity but Him. Qadi Sanaullah Panipatni Rahimullah writes regarding above verse in his Tafsir Madhari, the praise وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ indicates that the name of Allah تبارك وتعالى should be constantly repeated. In the verse رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ, there is indication of what the ulama refer to as النفي والإثبات, meaning negating every being besides Allah تبارك وتعالى and confirming the oneness of Allah only as a deity. By mentioning وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ instead of وَذْكُرْ رَبِّكَ, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ, there is an indication that just as how Allah تبارك وتعالى should be constantly remembered, in a similar manner the name of Allah should be constantly repeated.